Victory is the title of the lesson. One of the things that CR is known for newcomers is what we call the acrostic, where we take a word, tonight it's victory, and we apply meaning to each of the letters of those words. And so we'll do that with the word victory tonight. Now, lesson 15 out of 25, and here we are at victory. Victory typically seems to come at the end of the journey, the end of the game. And here we are kind of right in the middle, and we're talking about victory. And so I'm going to kind of use the phrase victory in recovery tonight, because that's maybe different than other victories that we have out there in the world. And for that matter, what the world thinks of as victory. And as I was preparing for the lesson, and you'll see it in just a moment as we look at the steps and the principles, I kept coming across words like humble and submit. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound like what the world tells us about victory. We dominate. We overpower our way to victory. And that's not the way God does it. And we see that even in Jesus' model. If you think back to Scripture and how one of the conflicts that Jesus had with the Jewish culture at the time is they were waiting for the Savior. They'd been promised the Savior, but their view of a Savior was this person that was going to come in and wipe out, in the most immediate case, the Roman conquerors, was basically going to just tear things up and settle the score. And that's, of course, not how Jesus is and how he works. And so we model that in victory and recovery as well. And so we're going to find out, as I like to say, how we in CR surrender ourselves to victory. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Victory and recovery. We think about victory in general. We know that one, as believers, for those of you in the room who are believers, and if you're not, that's fine. You are welcome here. Most of you know my story. I wasn't when I walked in the door 15 years ago or whatever it was. But if you are a believer, if you've placed your faith in Christ, you know that the ultimate victory has already been won. And we're going to be celebrating that here in just a few weeks on Easter Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection, when Jesus makes the ultimate victory in overcoming death, taking all sin to the grave with him, putting his righteousness on us. So we're a part of that. And I think you need to remember that. Romans 6:3, it's not going to be on the screen, but it says, Paul writes, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And then it goes on in Romans 6:4 to say, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We too are now part of that victory. Okay. And we also know that as followers, we are new creations. Okay. But then as I ask myself, how come I keep doing and thinking the old behaviors? And so that's what we're going to be kind of looking at as we go through the victory lesson tonight. So what does that look like? Actually submitting or surrendering ourselves to victory. Well, we always have principles and steps that kind of guide us in each of our lessons. And so we're in the victory lesson. We're using principle 5, which states to voluntarily submit. So there you go. To every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects or defects of character. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires is the beatitude that goes with it. And we have two steps that go with this lesson tonight. Step 6, which was we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And James 4:10, once again, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So there we see that kind of in a microcosm, that way of surrendering our ways to victory. We're humbled, we're lifted up. And then step 7, we humbly ask him to remove all of our shortcomings. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we know that part of our recovery process is coming clean. We know that part of our recovery process is working on an inventory and setting things straight as best as we can. And so that idea of confessing our sins to God restores our fellowship with him. It also provides healing as we confess to each other, as it says in James as well. So let's get into our acrostic tonight because we've got a big one here. And so V in the victory, voluntarily submit. And our scripture that undergirds that is from Romans. It says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. So submitting our way to victory, voluntarily submit, seems kind of odd. What are we submitting to? We're submitting to every change God wants to make in our life. Did you catch that word, every change? Every? There's two words there, every change. Now, my first thought is I don't think I can do that. I've got way too many things that need fixing. You might have that same feeling. And that's okay, because I don't need to fix anything. That's what God does. That's what Jesus does. And now I'm going to break this acrostic or this lesson into kind of two sections, God's part, our part. And the V-I-C-T, I'm going to label that as God's part. So as we go through each of those first four letters, kind of think about that. So how is this done? How do we fix? How do we let God fix this? Well, we humbly ask him to remove our character defects and our shortcomings. So we need to be coming to God consistently with these things, these shortcomings, these character defects. And so that takes us right into the second letter in victory, and that's the I, for identify your character defects, or identify character defects. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So identifying character defects. So if we look at that scripture, in my life, my course of action or my course was, I knew at some point that I wanted to stop drinking. The Lord determining my steps in my life translated into, I had no idea what God was going to do in my life to make that happen. And it's been quite a journey for this former atheist. As I mentioned, when I walked through the doors, I was not a believer. So that in and of itself is amazing. As I often say, there's going to be a ton of people really surprised when I show up in heaven. They're just not going to believe that Jack made it. How'd that happen? And I'm going to be probably one of them as well. And so that's that idea of how that happened. So drinking was a major character defect that brought me in the door. The really cool thing about this ministry is you get to discover other character defects that you have as you move and receive and get victory over other, you know, certain character defects. But drinking was the main one that brought me in. And so if you're wondering, if you're here tonight, you've likely identified at least one character defect. And that brought you through the door. Others of you have been here for many years, and so you are in a process of continual discovery of character defects. Where do you find these? Well, first of all, you need to get into a step study if you haven't done a step study. In the step study, core to that study is creating, coming up with your inventory, your fearless and searching moral inventory, where you're going to basically go through your life and look for all of the bad, the wrongs. You're also going to take a look at the good, the people that have been good to you, the people you've been good to. But where the real work and healing occurs is when we are able to get real with the ugly and acknowledge it, but then not stop there. We move on. That's the way we get to victory. We don't just identify the character defects. That's why there's more to this acrostic than just V and I. But we do something about them. So your inventory is probably the primary place where you would identify character defects. Maybe you haven't done an inventory. Maybe you haven't done a step study. Maybe it's your first night here, something like that. So where can you look at your character defects that may be in addition to what brought you in the door? Well, talk to those that know you and love you, okay? As I say many times, my wife in my life is an excellent resource to come up. I think she makes up character defects for me. Honestly, I'm really not that bad, I don't think. She just creates them out of nowhere. But I'll go with it. What the heck? Keeps me in business. But those that know you, if you become vulnerable enough to ask permission for them to help you identify blind spots and character defects. That's why we talk about getting a sponsor in this program. Somebody who walks alongside you, who's a little farther down the path than you, and can point out some of those things to you. Why we ask you to get involved with accountability teams. That's what our small groups oftentimes are an excellent resource for men and women to have other men and women around that get to know them and then can identify, not only identify their character defects, but identify with their character defects. You see, you're among people that know you, okay? They get you because they've done what you've done. They've thought what you've thought. And that's very powerful when you put that together. So all of these, even just our small group, whether they're accountability or not, just going to the small group portion of Celebrate Recovery is very helpful because you hear others talk about their defects of character. And that's something in the small groups we should be. We should be cherishing that time. I'm as social as anybody else, and that's why we have dessert and dinner. But in small group time, it's time to do work. It's time to get that healing. And so that's why we want, that's why we have a focus question tonight, as we do with all our teachings. And so we want that to be a time where you can allow yourself to be vulnerable, where you can allow yourself to share your character defects and allow those in that room to help be a part of your healing process. So that's the I, identify character defects. As we move on to the C, which is change your mind. All right, Scripture, Romans again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now notice the Scripture there we just read does not say to change your mind. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? When we talk about changing your mind in this part of the acrostic, I'm not talking about you wanted to have a lasagna for dinner and you changed your mind to peanut butter and jelly. Okay? It's more like changing your oil. When you go to change your oil, you don't just repurpose the oil around the engine, the same old oil. No, you remove the bad oil, the old oil. You renew it with new oil in your car. So we're talking about that kind of change when we're talking about changing our mind. See, the world wants to change our minds by exerting pressure from the outside, okay? That is when you become a conformer. The Spirit of God works inside to transform you from inside out, if you allow him to do that. And so you don't want to be a conformer, you want to be a transformer. You want to be someone who is transformed by the Spirit, and then you want to help others in how you live your life transform their lives. Once again, you're not going to go out and fix them. You're just going to reflect that transformation. And as I always say, changed people change people. And so I want the world to see your change. I want the world to see that transformation. As a follower of Christ, we are new creations. And so oftentimes I have to tell my follow-up with myself is, so Jack, why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like that new creation? And it's akin for those of you that have substance problems. If you've ever just quit your substance of choice, you know that that's not recovery. That's just quitting. Okay, and while recovery programs are filled with quitters, and quitters are awesome, it's not recovery, all right? That's what they call a dry drunk if you're a drinker, or if you're going to do just a short-term dieting. That's not a lifestyle change. That's a temporary thing. What the idea of changing our minds and renewing our minds, it's about a whole different mindset, okay? One of the best ways to transform your mind is, of course, getting into God's Word. Know what he wants from you, know what he thinks about you, understand how much he loves you, and then surround yourself with others that share that. And so coming to this ministry regularly is one of the ways to do that. So that's the C, change your mind. Finally, we get to the last in our kind of what God's part is T, turn over your character defects. Turn over your character defects. I think we've got a couple scriptures here. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, I don't know if that's up here or not. Yeah, it is. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So turn over your character defects. And this takes us back kind of to the V, that voluntarily submit. Okay, we humble ourselves, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. That was one of the things that I missed for a number of years in my recovery walk. I got the concept of identifying the character defects, and I invited those, my accountability partners, to call me out when they saw those come up. But then I kind of stopped there. I didn't go to the one person who could change and fix me, and that's God. I wouldn't take those to him. I would just kind of keep those in my small group. And you may have had experience like this in your life where there's a lot of talk happening about your problems, about your issues, but not a lot of change is happening. And if you're not taking these to God, that may be one of the reasons why. where you're kind of keeping it at the human level, and you need to get it into the supernatural realm. Notice that the T does not stand for take control of my character defects. It's not trying harder, okay, to be who you want to be. It's about turning yourself over and those character defects over to God so that he can transform you into the person that A, he created you to be, and B, he already sees you as because of what his son did on the cross. So that's the idea here. So the V-I-C-T is kind of God's part. He will lift you up. He will transform you. He will renew your mind. He will determine your steps. He will, as the scripture says, strengthen and protect you. All right? So then our part is the last part of the acrostic. So let's get into that. As I turn the page, the O in recovery, one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. That's a Living Bible translation. You know, the Serenity Prayer, we start talking about that living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Breaks it down even further than that. Today I've got, oh gosh, I didn't even do the math here. Back in 2021, I'll tell you, I had almost 3,000 one day at a times sober. I'm over that now because it's 2026. I'm coming up on 13 years, so you can do the math because I'm bad at math. As I always tell people, whether it's 6 months, whether it's a year, we'll be celebrating annual anniversaries later tonight, that's a lot of one days at a time. And that's the way it has to happen. I remember so often in my previous attempts to get sober, I'd have a particularly ugly period of drinking, go out, you know, do crazy stuff and all that, and I'd find myself, future tripping, and I would say something like, I'm never ever going to drink again, you know, in the future, I'm never ever going to do that. Instead of just, how about staying sober tonight, Jack? A lot of times I'd be never going to drink again, drinking that night, you know, kind of things, you know, just very goofy. It's not about the future. After a few days of maybe never drinking again, well, then I got tired of that. And I'd get some clarity, and then depression and shame and guilt and all that would kick in. And so then I would think, gosh, I don't want to feel this way forever. Forever. Can't drink forever as an alcoholic? I mean, what do you mean by forever? Are you talking like more than a year forever? You know, I'm starting to do that kind of thing in my head. There's no place, I'm not going to get to 13 years of recovery, even today, so close to it, if I have that mindset. So one day at a time. Once again, our part is staying in the present by living one day at a time, one moment at a time, one victory at a time. So don't, that's one of those, you know, pieces of wisdom that you hear so much in recovery ministry, but it is because it is so crucial. It's really this one of the core principles to success in recovery. And it would be the same thing for your faith. You need to be in touch with Jesus one day at a time. I hear people, myself included, will say, yeah, I feel a little distance from Jesus, or I don't know where God went or whatever. Well, usually it's me. I've wandered off. I've not gotten into the Word. I went a week or 2 weeks or a month without cracking open the Scripture. Well, it's no wonder I'm feeling maybe distant from God. I'm not making that effort. All right, the R in victory. Recovery is a process. Recovery is a process. Philippians 1:6 tells us, and I am sure that God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished, on that day when Jesus Christ returns. I like how C.S. Lewis puts this in Mere Christianity. Let me read you a little bit of this. He writes, dozens of people go to him, God, to be cured of some one particular sin in which they are ashamed of, physical cowardice, alcoholism, masturbation, or something like that, or which is obviously spoiling daily life, like a bad temper or drunkenness. Well, he will cure you all right, but he will not stop there. That may be all you asked him to do, but once you call him in, he's going to give you the full treatment. Make no mistake, he says, if you let me, I will make you perfect. The moment you put yourself in my hands, that is what you are in for, nothing less or other than that. You have free will, and if you choose, you can push me away. But if you do not push me away, understand that I am going to see this job through. I will never rest nor let you rest until you are literally perfect, until my Father can say without reservation that he is well pleased with you, as he said he was well pleased with me. This I can do and will do, but I will not do anything less. And yet, and here's where the process piece comes in, and yet this is the other and equally important side of it. This helper, Jesus, who will in the long run be satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection, will also be delighted with the first feeble, stumbling effort that we make tomorrow. And so don't get down on yourself. Realize that this is a process. Submitting to the process of recovery, submitting to going to meetings, being here every Thursday, getting into a step study, as I mentioned, getting into another step study if you feel you need that, and many of us do, asking for accountability. Don't just assume that your small group understands that. They probably do, but ask for that. Finding and working with a sponsor and giving back to others who are struggling. That's another reason I want you to keep coming back. Not because we get, you know, paid by the headcount here or something like that, because I want, you to be healed. I want you to help me in my healing, because you do that, whether it's your first night here or your 25th year here. And see, I want you to be interacting with others and helping others, because that helps you ultimately. Once again, you're not fixing them. God's doing the fixing. You're being there for them. One of our small group guidelines, as most of you know, we're here to support one another, not fix one another. So recovery is a process. Finally, the why in victory. Make sure I'm there. Is you must choose to change. You must choose to change. So the scripture we have says, God gives us strength. God gives strength to the humble. So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. And so when we talk about how do we choose to change, what do? Look at that scripture again. We give ourselves humbly to God. And eventually we start giving ourselves humbly to each other. We resist the enemy. We resist the world that wants to conform us. Okay? So that's got to be an active, cognitive, thoughtful process. If you just go out into the world and don't think about having some level of resistance, that doesn't mean you're an idiot, and that doesn't mean you're rude to people, and that doesn't mean you're walking around thinking you're better than people. It just means you got to realize what the world says about how to live your life versus what God says, and know those differences. And then finally, to help you do that, you need to draw close. So we're gonna give, we're gonna resist, and we're gonna draw close to God. We're going to do that in prayer. We're going to do that in reading his word. We're going to do that by getting into a Bible study, a community group, whatever it is. We're going to have God be in our life. In other words, it starts with God, and then we bring other things in. Where a lot of times in my life, I'm adding God as a condiment to my life. Okay? The creator of the universe is not a condiment. He's God. And I need to realize that in how I interact. So we've been given free will by our Heavenly Father. So we get to choose whether or not to change, but also remember that true change, true transformation is not about trying harder. It's not about applying more external pressure to conform to change. It's not behavior modification. Choosing to change means you make a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to work from within out to transform you. And so let me just kind of wrap it up here this evening, or at least the teaching, and kind of give you some main points about what victory in recovery looks like, okay? One, victory in recovery is a daily process of submitting to God's will to remove our character defects or to have him transform them into qualities and give us character. In other words, to redeem them. And that's one of the things. If you are not turning over those defects of character to God, you are missing out on a redemption opportunity. Most of us here, as we sat here last week and listened to those mini-monies, people looking and see what God redeemed in people's lives, all of that ugliness and what he's done for good. So that's another thing. So that brings in redemption. Victory and recovery is allowing God to transform the way we think and feel by changing our minds and our hearts. Okay? Victory and recovery happens one day at a time, one moment at a time, over a period of time, all of the time. Okay, this is a constant process, all right? Victory and recovery means letting God take care of the perfection while we take care of the progress. Just to review, or just to kind of bring you back to where we started, the ultimate victory has already occurred. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death. And we get to walk in that victory with him. So when we talk about, and you hear me and others say, I'm having victory over my addiction to alcohol, I've got, as a follower, I've got victory over something much bigger than that, and so do you, if you're a believer. And so on those days that are tough, on those days where you don't feel very victorious, for any number of reasons, realize that should take you back to the one who's already, you know, claimed that victory, and be aware that you get to share in that victory with him. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for that victory. Thank you for doing what we could never, ever do, no matter how hard we try, no matter how good we may think we live our lives or the thoughts we have. We know they fall vastly short of your perfect nature. And I ask that you impress upon all of our hearts tonight that perfection that you have, that perfect love you have for us, that perfect grace that is immeasurable that you extend to us, the perfect level of mercy that you grant us, that perfect pursuit, unrelenting, that you come alongside us with. And Lord, I ask that you give us a right perspective tonight, that we have a victory with you in this world. We have a victory because of your Son, and that we live that way, that we live transformed lives, and that we stop conforming and allow the Spirit to work within us to transform us. Heavenly Father, we love you and pray these things in your name. Amen.